sister did a Fortran exercise. And so we were talking about indentation, and so she saw indentation more as this artistic form. And so she had this program that had, you know, indent, and
like
then it came
poem.
Out again, and it made this beautiful form. And I'm like, no, Chris, indentation is all about communicating the level of scope of where you are. She didn't get it.
I think every programming style guide rule there is in the world was, like, written in blood, do you know what I mean? Like, somebody did something intensely stupid, so they had this if with no braces, and then they came along and added a second line, and it was indented, so in their head it was... but it was being run every time or whatever, and then, you know, from then on, you will have braces around your one-line lips, and I'm totally in that camp.
It's funny how there's nothing that will bring passion as much as coding styles.
Exactly.
Three or four spaces.
Nomenclature rules, and is it pastel casing, or do you use camel casing?
But let me ask you this. I mean, the VB people contend, I've had Brian Beckman on Channel 9, that they are going to make VB the most advanced programming language in the world because... you're going to be able to do things that you can do in C++ in a very easy way. In other words, there's going to be so much magic happening under the covers that you won't even need to type anything. Type as in by, you know, dim this
right.
as blah.
Right.
That's out the window,
so,
man.
I think that's very interesting. Let me start off by saying, I truly believe in having multiple options for people who have different preferences.
Great.
People have different priorities. And there are people who want to just sketch out an idea and just do it.
Yep.
Right? There are other people like me. I'm a control freak. I need to feel like I know where my braces are. I know that I have a certain amount of indentation. I know that my variables, if I put a lowercase, it's because I want a lowercase. And if I have a lowercase foo and a foo that starts with Pascal with an uppercase F, they're different. And I have them for a very good reason. And I want them to be different.
Okay.
And there are other people who don't want to worry about that. And I don't feel like we should make people choose between those two styles.
Well, wait a second. Why do we have this classification of more something in the middle I can never remember?
Einstein.
Elvis.
Those are artifices because we're not connected to our developers. We need sort of prototypes to remind us who our customers are because we believe that our customers are just like us, and that's bullshit.
Okay, but let me ask you this, though. Let me ask you this, though, in terms of... Well, you're a C++ guru, right? Now, you love the language.
I love the language.
With the advent of managed code, we basically removed the need for you to spend a lot of time. So in C++, you're spending a significant amount of your time, correct me if I'm wrong, managing memory, yes?
Well, not
cleaning
if I'm
your detritus.
Not if I'm using managed C++. I'm happy enough to let the garbage collector deal with my memory. But that's
okay.
Not all the destructors are for.
Okay.
Right? So the old saying is that people who like garbage collectors believe that memory management is so important that it shouldn't be left to the programmer, and control freaks like you and me believe that it's so important that it shouldn't be left to the system. Right.
Mm.
So I'm prepared to let the system manage memory for me. I'm just not prepared to let it clean up database connections and locks and file handles and stuff like that.
Okay.
I want to know that I'm in charge of when those go. So I want to know that when we hit the close brace and we go out of scope, the file closes. The handle's freed, the lock is freed, the connection closes, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that's exactly when it happens because I'm a control freak and that's
okay.
what I want. And other people writing a different kind of app with different constraints, maybe they're not so threaded, maybe they don't have a connection pool, they're okay with it'll get cleaned up whenever the garbage collector feels like cleaning it up.
Mm-hmm.
So it's different strokes for different folks.
Okay, agreed. But, I mean, when you compare C++ to VB.NET, it's night and day. I mean, but you love both of them. Why are they not night and day? Why does it depend?
Because here's the difference. Before the .NET framework, when I, as a C++ developer, would go to a customer or partner who was using VB6, we spoke completely different languages.
Uh-huh.
They had one set of APIs, and I thought in another set of APIs. Now, the .NET framework is a common framework for everyone. At least when I see code, I can understand the code. I know the classes, the frameworks that they're calling, and the constructs they're using.
Mm-hmm.
And so the syntax, which is very important, the preferences of how you write code and what does for you. I don't want to minimize the importance of that, but we're all talking the same framework of classes.
So when you're reading someone else's code, and you're like, oh, you're splitting this string. Like, strings was the worst. You know, 20 plus years of programming experience in 119 different languages, and you're sitting there going, I don't have to hit F1, you know, because it was different in every language. And now it's the same. So I can look at a piece of VB code or a piece of C# code or a piece of C++ code, and I go, oh, yeah, you're splitting on comma. That's cool. I get it. Now you have an array of strings. And we can, whereas before,
well, even the
but I would argue that, I mean, but using C++ instead of C# is much more than just a syntactic
it's philosophy.
It's a philosophy in the much as you can go managed and write, you can, if you want to, in C++, you can write your own memory management system. You can do whatever the hell you want.
Yeah, you can take
and you
over
can
marshalling.
Use the cool framework APIs, for example, but things that you can't do in C++ would say use link.
Yet.
Yet. But you could write
any XAML, yes, the XAML story. Sad.
Yeah, no XAML, no WPF.
You could dynamically call the WPF methods
and
classes, and you could programmatically do. You just can't have the compiled XAML files as part of your C++ project. But the nice thing, again, going back to this commonality, mm-hmm. the wonderful thing is that I can have an assembly that's written in VB.NET, and I can have another assembly that's written in C++, CLI, and I can have another one in C#, and I don't have any problems calling between those two,
exactly.
between those different assemblies. And that's huge.
It is. Because we used to have, say, data access was different in VB6 and in MFC. Mm-hmm. And you could know all about how to write a great database application in VB6. You could be a total rock star in that. And then you'd be put on a team that was doing some MFC programming, and you wouldn't know anything.
Or vice versa.
Or vice versa. It would go in both directions, and you just look like an idiot. And now, if you understand how ADO.NET works, you're good, regardless of the language you're working in. And if I want to do that stuff from C++, which would be kind of weird, but I can, then it'll look to me like a SQL connection and SQL command have destructors.
So why would
that's
you
pretty cool.
use ADO.NET from C++? Because ADO was never very friendly to program from C++, in my experience anyway.
If I was in a C++ application and I wanted to talk to a database, absolutely, I'd start using ADO.NET. It's more the other way around. I'm sitting in my office and somebody wants a WinForms app that goes in the database and blah, blah, blah. How am I going to sell the story that needs to be in C++? Do you have some interrupt? Do you have some native DLL that we need to really control the place? Yeah. But if I need to set that managed, unmanaged boundary, if I need to control my thunking and my transitions, then I want to be in C++ because I'm the control freak and I'm going to maybe do my own marshalling or write my own wrappers or whatever I have to do. Mm-hmm. But if someone's starting greenfields, I need a story for picking a language. And as time goes by, it gets harder and harder to find C++ devs to maintain this stuff. Mm-hmm. So it's not my default choice. I need a reason for choosing it.
Well, I mean,
the
you
power
would...
or because you have some previous code that you want to be able to extend.
So if you wanted to write, for example, a managed wrapper for like DirectX, which the DirectX team, of course, did, mm-hmm. they wrote, you know, they're writing C++, and then they write the managed stuff that the people in C# world can mm-hmm. create. So that a corollary for someone like you is that you would write your cool C++ app, and then you had this cool API you wanted to expose out to the managed world.
Yep.
You could just easily do that now.
Yes. I mean, I've done that. I just finished a project where I did just that.
Cool. And, like, what does that look like? I mean, is it just a tag on, like,
so
explain
what happened
that.
Was my client bought a library, which was basically a bunch of C APIs, and they were truly ugly, and you would sort of, you had to call init, and it would give you something back, and then when you called the next function, you had to pass whatever you got back from init, and it was mm-hmm. gross. There was no classes, just flat functions. Mm-hmm. So the first thing we did was we made native, ordinary C++ classes that embodied the concepts and the business words of what this library was for. And their existing C++ code, they had a calculation engine and an MFC UI and that kind of thing, called into that class and life was good. But they also have a bunch of new C# UI. They have a web interface to the same engine. And so we then wrote a C++ CLI wrapper around this perfectly good C++ class that was a ref class, so it's exposed out on the framework so that C# and VB can call it. And so their C# programmers, again, are just they're using the business words and they're calling normal methods and they're getting... acquisition is initialization, so it's a licensing thing. So when you create the object, you get a license, and when the object goes away, the license goes back into the pool, and it just feels natural.
Excellent.
It's good for everything.
Very cool. Now, I would just point out that C++ is an unsafe language. It's as unsafe as you. It is unsafe. It's as unsafe as you can get.
You can program safe.
It's as unsafe as you can get.
You can specify that you want pure managed code and safe verifiable code, as you can.
By what? CLRs?
CLRs, yeah. Colon safe?
Yeah, but you can't. Let's talk about that, though. So, in other words, if I write a completely unmanaged application with no managed interfaces, I don't use a manage at all, and I whack CLR, it doesn't mean it's memory managed. It doesn't mean anything.
No, it doesn't. And that's probably not the thing you want to do all the time, is to just compile arbitrary.
But let me ask you what it means when I do whack CLR. I have to, that means that I can actually program against managed APIs.
Sure, but you could have slash CLR that's safe and verifiable or not.
Is that new in 2005?
I believe so, yes. Okay. You have a lot of granularity.
So in other words, in 2005 we have the new switch safe.
Just plain CLR. You have CLR safe, and you have CLR pure. And then you have CLR old syntax, but we don't talk about it.
What's CLR? What's the difference between CLR pure and CLR safe?
CLR pure has no native code in it at all, so you won't be having any managed unmanaged transitions within your code. Okay. You may still have them if you wrote a line of code that calls it stir copy or printf or something, but you won't have any within your code, and you won't have a native entry point, which matters for DLLs. But CLR safe is verifiable. So you know those .NET 101 PowerPoints that show the first step is the verifier?
Yeah.
It's sort of a semi-lie, right? Because C++ apps by default have skip verification permission requested. So they don't verify.
Huh.
But that's part of full trust. So if you want to write a partial trust app, you can't be asking for skip verification. So then you have to write verifiable code. And what's cool in 2005 is you get error messages from the compiler that says, you're using square brackets to talk to an array. That counts as pointer arithmetic. You're not safe, you know, on line 702. And you can go in and fix it and use, you know, a collection or something safe.
Very interesting. Wow. So is there some sort of cost for writing verifiable code? Only in the programmer's head.
Nothing at runtime.
Excellent.
That's our motto in C++. And that's why I like templates better than generics.
What's the motto? What is the... What, say it. What's
so
your motto?
So you pay the price at compile time instead of at runtime.
Fair enough. Which is definitely not the case in VB.NET.
Not necessarily.
It doesn't. Let me rephrase myself. Not in JScript.
It doesn't need to be the case, and it's never the case in JScript.
But it doesn't need to be the case in C# either. You can write late bound code in C# using reflection.
Fair enough.
And then you'll pay the price.
That's right. And so you are either.
Or you could just type your thing as an object.
So, and that's what I said. Late binding.
Everything inherits from object.
Sure.
Type everything as an object. It's all going to be runtime.
Late binding has a benefit of flexibility. Don't have to know when you build your solution, the assemblies you're going to reference, the types you're going to assemble.
Okay.
With that great flexibility comes a cost, and that means that you're doing checking at runtime instead of checking at compile time. It's a trade-off.
And it's a decision that you make at an architectural level. So I did a VB project that's all table-driven, and inside the database table is the names of classes.
Mm-hmm.
And so at any time you want to, you can write another class and deploy it. And then the code goes and looks in the database and says, oh, I better make a this. So it's totally runtime, because when that code was compiled, that class didn't exist. And
Fair enough.
You pay a price, but you're paying it on purpose. They wanted to have that flexibility in their system to add new business rules after.
But you can do that in C#. So yes. Again, it's not, you don't
it's
have
hard,
to make
it. The point is, it's harder to do it in C# than not to do it in VB.NET. So you could do it in C# or just not do it. That's the difference. In C#, I actually have to write code to not do something.
By default, when you create a VB.NET project, you are doing the option strict, and so you are doing strong typing.
Fair enough, but the direction that VB.NET is going is that you will not have to type at all.
Well, I can't speak for the VB team. So.
That's fair enough. I can, because I talked to Brian. What is the earlier point?
It's her choice to do that.
Okay.
Because it matches her programming style. It makes her feel more comfortable.
The needs that I have next.
I'm not arguing against choice. I'm arguing that you could write a language that is just as powerful as C++ in the end result that is completely untyped at runtime, at compile time.
How do you define power? Yes. Is power control? Or is power
great question.
The amount
power
of
is I'm able to write an application that does some incredibly interesting thing for me. Let me finish. Like, if I wanted to write some sort of really useful 3D application without having to understand the fundamentals of image processing.
And then I would say you're talking about abstraction. You're not talking about power.
I am.
And abstraction and power are on my mind,
okay,
very opposite ends of the spectrum. The more abstraction you have, the less control you have. The more control you have, the less abstraction you have, and the more complicated it is. And that's where that trade-off is.
And also, you know, you're talking about productivity. But what about performance? You know, a lot of apps are no good if they're slow. They have to be fast, right? And so a really common thing for me is I'm going to put the work in now,
uh-huh,
while I'm typing code, and then later my application will be quicker. So I'm going to handcraft something that could have been generated for me by a wizard or an import-export kind of a tool, but I know that thing's going to be piggy slow. So now I'm going to sit here for 6 weeks and do something that a wizard could have done, but when I'm done, it's going to be fast, and it's going to be fast enough that people can actually use it.
True.
So, I mean, that's power, too.
That's absolutely power. Well, I mean, it's a good point, the definition of power, but to me, it's pretty powerful if I press a button and something amazing happens.
So I guess
that's
maybe
power.
I wouldn't say power, I would say abstraction. How much does it abstract away? How much does it do for me that I don't have to explicitly
do? You think there's a connection between the degree of abstractedness and the degree of productivity?
Absolutely. Because the more details that you have to do explicitly, the more you have to do, the less productive you are. So those things that, and that's about control. You don't. When I say I'm a control freak, I don't want to have control just for the sake of control. I want to have control when I need it. And
okay.
So you pay a price for control.
Sure.
So that's where that trade-off comes in. When do I need it? When am I willing to pay the productivity price for control? When do I not need it and I just want it to spit out the code and move the code for me?
Absolutely, which is one of the great, great things about C++ and managed code. Because you can have all the control you want,
and then you can also
go out and do some cool framework code.
Yes.
Right in the same file.
That's right. So that's why I was with language for control freaks, because I can choose. Now, the downside is that the magic wizards and the designers and all that stuff is going to generate those hundreds of lines of code for me aren't always there for C++ today. So with that caveat.
That's coming, maybe.
Maybe.
Do you want it?
Some of it I do. You know, I was asked, like, which would you rather have, you know, a WPF designer or Link if you had to choose. Those are really hard questions to answer because we do have the option of saying, I think I'm going to write my UI in C# and I'll put my guts, you know, in C++.
Well, let me ask you this. I mean, given the fact that you could write C# Link library,
yeah,
and then you have a little C++ way to call into it.
Exactly.
You don't really need it, do you?
Well, then you wouldn't need anything in any language. I mean, why do we put anything in C#? But people could just do that part in VB and call it
C#.
Right? So, and a lot of this is about people feeling loved, you know. Give me a designer,
yeah,
because then I know you love me.
But then again, I mean, do you really use designers? I mean, do you do MFC stuff?
Not anymore. I do WinForm stuff.
You do WinForm stuff.
I maintain old
But you can't
stuff.
Do WPF stuff.
You can as long as you don't mind calling APIs. And I don't mind calling APIs.
I see. There's just no designer support.
But it depends if you wanted to do it quick and dirty. I mean, a lot of the things like, I mean, I don't write production code. So, I mean, I have to say for my needs, where I'm writing a lot of demo code and I want to write it fast, I love a Windows Forms designer. I come in there, I've got all my anchoring, my docking, I can have all my splitter controls, my grid controls, and I can just go in there, do my UI, I've got lots of control over it, and get my work done.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, that's an important thing to have. I want to have that designer support to lay things out.
Excellent.
I mean, people think that way. You know, I was trying to move a C++ MFC developer into the managed world, and because his company won't use 2005 because it hasn't been released for more than a year, he's using 2003. So I was like, okay, we're not going anywhere near C++. You're going to be in C#. And he built his UI in the designer, and then he went in and changed all the code in the code. And then he'd go in the designer and move something, and he'd say, it's changed my code. And you were saying, I love my code, don't mess with my code. And he was like really, really angry that the designer was touching his code, reordering lines, or in some cases changing things back from what he changed them to by hand. And so it's, if you like the designer and you feel that I'm going to drag, I'm going to drop, I'm going to double-click, this is great. But if you're a more code-focused person, you're like, get that know-it-all wizard out of my code and let me just type.
A lot of the stuff in Visual Studio 2005 with partial classes has also been addressed a lot.
That's the problem.
Yeah.
Totally.
Yeah.
I liked it in Visual 2003. It said, do not touch this code under here. Okay, yeah, right. I have to because I don't want to use a designer.
Yeah.
And that's where I have to write my code.
Right.
Or you could actually just have done it in a class, and you just call methods or set properties.
Yeah, because we all do that. None of us ever just stuff the code in the handler.
Oh, never. Never. Very interesting. This is great.
I hope it looks great in the morning.
It's going to be great. This is great stuff.
Just with a bunch of girl geeks, right?
Yeah, but this is what it's all about. I mean, this is cool stuff. So we'll do more, talk a little bit more tomorrow about what you're working on. First of all, introduce yourself, please. Because it hasn't been done yet.
My name is Kate Gregory, and I'm a C++ and VB.NET developer in Ontario, and I have a 7-person consulting group.
Outstanding. And you're here in Tech Ed Barcelona teaching developers what?
I have a talk on mixing native and managed code with C++ CLI.
Excellent. Excellent.
I'm Kira Richardson, program manager for IE Layout Rendering.
Excellent. And you're becoming a familiar face on Channel 9.
Catherine Heller, I'm a technical evangelist for Windows Vista.
Excellent. Thanks for this conversation, you guys.
Thanks,
Charles. Great.